Welcome, y'all, to the Osage County, Oklahoma podcast. We promise to keep it entertaining, and we guarantee the smiles are always free. I'm your host, Kelly Bland, and I can't wait for you to meet the guest we have today. Let's get started. Aura.
Yes, ma'am.
Are you ready to do a podcast?
I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to do it. I really am.
Well, welcome everybody to the Osage and It podcast here in Osage County. We're sitting down here at Joey Lee's Hat Bar in Osage Outfitters in Pawhuska. And I have Mr. Aura Brown here with me. He is legendary in this country.
Hello, hello.
Oh, man. Thanks for joining me today.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks
for
having me.
We're fixing to have a good time.
Oh, I believe so.
Now, the last time we visited, I was in Omaha, Nebraska.
Yeah.
We were doing our talking on the phone.
Oh, gosh. That was a while ago.
Yeah. Actually, it was last January.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's when the journey started. Well, almost when the journey started.
Yeah. So. Well, I'm blessed that you're here today. A lot's been going on in your life since last January.
Sure.
So, to start off with Aura, tell everybody out there just a little bit about who's Aura Brown. Tell them a little bit about yourself. Like, were you raised here?
Yes, ma'am. Well, I'm my name's Aura Brown. You know, I was born in Pawhuska, Oklahoma, to Cora Brown. My father, Aura Brown, he's from Sedan, little town north of here. My mom, she's from Pawhuska originally. My dad was a cowboy. My mom, she was a pastor. She worked for Phillips Petroleum. She was a secretary there. You know, I was really kind of raised by my mom and my grandmother. You know, my dad passed away when I was 6 years old. I was a young kid. So I never really got to, you know, be around the cowboy in life. It was more wrapped up in, you know, church life and stuff like that, hanging out with my sisters and stuff. But, you know, as I got older, you know, I kept telling my mom I wanted to be a cowboy. And, you know, she never didn't want me to be one, you know, because you know how cowboys get a little wild sometimes. But, you know, so after that, I kind of used to sneak off and go cowboy my own self without her really knowing. And then once she found out, as long as I wasn't hanging out with cowboys, that was okay. As long as I was doing it on my own, she would let me be cowboy on my own. So I remember I used to ride through pastures and stuff and dream I was like way out west on like big outfits and stuff like that. So I don't know. It's slowly, little by little, it just kind of all started falling together, you know. I guess the more you do it, the more you chase something, you know, it's, you know, people talk about like manifestation and stuff. You know, I don't think manifestation is like, you know, if you think of it, it'll just happen. You know, I think of it, I see manifestation as in the sense of like when you put your mind to something and you focus on that, you start naturally taking action towards it because it's something that you want. And so all of a sudden you'll start recognizing the opportunities that pop up for that dream or that want or that ambition or whatever it is. And, you know, and if you want it bad enough, you just take it and then slowly just manifest into, you know, the dream that you've been dreaming forever. So,
well, now if you can't tell already, Aura Brown is just a little bit philosophical. He's a thinker, and I'm telling you what, I like a good thinker who's not afraid to speak his mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you were saying that about manifestations and things like that, the word that was popping up in my mind might be a word that your mama would have even spoken over you, and it was destiny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was talking with my daughters about cowboying, and, you know, anybody can learn it.
Mm-hmm.
Most
guys
can do it,
yes,
but there are some that are just born
just
to
born
it.
Born to do
and
it.
And you can tell the difference, and you're one of them.
I appreciate that. I enjoy it. I've always enjoyed it forever. I mean, you know, since I was a little kid, you know, we didn't watch very much TV, you know. Growing up, it was, you know, my mom, she didn't really believe in letting you watch too much stuff. There's so much stuff on TV, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went to the library a lot, and we read a lot of books. And I bet I've probably read every book in the Bartersville Library, like every Western book anyways, that is. You know, I went back through Western history and all the Louis L'Amour books, the Will James books. Like, it's, they were just big, big influences in my life. And it was always about the Southwest and, like, the big, like, rough desert country. And, you know, you're trotting across there, you know, prowling cattle and stuff. And, like, it, I don't know, that was just always a big, huge dream of mine, was to do that and to be able to get out on those outfits and just enjoy life. It was, to me, life was more about having adventures in life rather than just being, I guess, you like, you know, some people want to say rich, but I mean, there's different versions of rich to me, you know, like, you know, if money's your thing of being rich, that's your thing. I, you know, I kind of see is being, for me, it's being rich is being free. And when I mean free, I mean it in the sense of, you know, you don't have any debt, or you don't have very much debt, or you just have the freedom. You have really nothing holding you back. If you want to take a trip, you take a trip. If you want to pack up and move to wherever and go see something, you pack up and move to go see something. It's just a freedom. It's like a kind of like a gypsy lifestyle, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what cowboys are. They're just, I don't know, just free ranging gypsies. Most of us were, you know. So.
Well, last time we talked on the phone, you were telling me that working in ranches in Texas and Arizona, kind of gypsying mm-hmm. around. That was your word.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. It was that was a blessing in itself. That was like achieving the greatest dream, you know. Because from reading all the books growing up, that was like a huge deal for me to be able to go out there out west and just punch cows, for a living.
Well, it suits you.
Yes, ma'am.
But here lately, you've kind of been doing a little something different along the cowboy line, kind of going a little bit towards the movie industry a little bit, stuntman mm-hmm. stuff. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, about 2 years ago, it is 2021, so about 2 years ago almost, I was managing a cow-calf operation, and a guy called me one day. It actually hit me up on Facebook. And he asked me if I wanted to work horses on a movie set. And I was like, sure deal, why not? You know, something different. I was kind of getting burnt out with cowboying, but in the sense of not the life, but the actual, it became a job. Like it used to be just, like I said, you were free. You were wild and running free. You didn't have nobody holding you down. It was nothing like that, you know. But after taking care of a place, you know, like I said, I'd been there 5 years, and it was just like, you know, you saw the same cattle in the same country and all that. You know, the people I worked for treated me like family. I love them, still love them to this day. You know, they were great folks. But it was something within me. Like, I guess I just have like a gypsy soul. You know, I get bored after staying somewhere for so long.
Okay.
You know,
adventure calls.
Yeah, yeah, adventure calls, pretty much. That's what it is. And it's just, so no, it was nothing against them or anything. It was just time for me to try something new. Like I needed an adventure mm-hmm. is what it was. And so I took the job. I took care of horses down in Georgia on a movie, on a television show that we did down there as a TV series. And so whenever I got done with that, apparently on that show I met the stunt coordinator, and he offered me a job doing stunt work on a Western movie in New Mexico. So I went from being a wrangler taking care of the horses to being a stuntman doing stunts.
So in that type of stunt work, are you talking about just being able to be the guy who's busting through there on a horse with, you know, skill, or did you have to do anything that was, like, dangerous?
Well, I mean, consider what you consider dangerous. I mean, most of it's not really, you know, there was just a couple of things that, you know, going through windows, stuff like that, you know, typical stuff. But I didn't have to do those. I was more of, like, a stunt rider. And so we would do scenes where, you know, we get shot off horses, or you know, we'd have to move around in like a fight scene on a horse, or you know, run across the pasture chasing somebody or something like that. So it was those kind of scenes like that is what they normally had us for, because you know, you don't see a lot of black guys that ride horses, I guess. Is that what they keep telling me anyways? You know, so that was kind of my job, was to do that, was just to do a lot of, and there was more of us. It wasn't just me. There was more guys that were out there, and they could ride. They roped and did, you know, they rodeoed and stuff. But we were all like the stunt team, the horse riding team of it, of the movie. It was a great time. I loved it. Still love it. So.
Well, now I think you told me when we talked before about being in the military, and did mm-hmm. you tell me you jumped out of helicopters?
I did jump out of helicopters. I have rappelled out of helicopters. I used to jump out of planes. I was in the 82nd Airborne Division. I was there for 3 years, 3.5 years. And I was in the Army total about 7 to 7.5, I think. And I did three and a half of those in the 82nd Airborne Division. And during training and stuff like that, we would periodically do, you know, jumps out of planes, or we'd jump out of the back of helicopters, or... and then when I went to air assault school, you know, I had to rappel out of helicopters and stuff like that.
Well, I just put that together with, like, getting shot off a horse. You know,
yeah,
well,
yeah.
If you've rappelled out of a helicopter before, yeah, I mean, you probably just, get shot off a horse, all right.
Yeah, yeah, like I said, I seem to like adventure. You know, it, I get bored very quickly. I get bored very quickly. So.
Well, I always enjoy your posts on social media. And for those of you out there, if you're not following Aura, you need to. He's like the classy hippie cowpuncher.
Follow me. The classy hippie cowpuncher, man. Yeah. Follow me for sure.
But let's talk for a second. You know, I know you're a man of values. And like I said, sort of a philosopher. Roots, Aura.
Roots.
People's roots. How important are they to you?
You know, other people's roots or my roots?
Your roots in your life.
You know, roots are, you know, I think roots are a great thing in the sense of, you know, they give you your foundation. They give you that holding, you know, stuff to build off of. You know, growing up, my roots were grounded in, you know, religion and...
Because your mom was a preacher.
And my mother, and my grandmother was too, you know. And so it was really rooted in religion, hard work, honesty, being respectable, manners, you know, stuff like that. And so that's where my roots really started from. And as I've gotten older, I think I've had to do my own personal work with myself when it came to, you know, what I wanted to believe in religion or what I wanted to believe in certain aspects of things that I'd been taught growing up, you know, as a child. But I think roots are a main thing, but, you know, I don't think you're held by your roots.
Amen. That's, you know, good. That's
You're not held by your roots. I think you're, because it's like, because that's what your parents taught you doesn't mean even they were right. Because that might have just been what they were taught. You know, so they're just passing down they might pass down garbage. So they might pass down the same garbage down to you. And, you know, but so if you hold on to that stuff, by holding on to that stuff, you never really become your true self. You know, for me, like, okay, for, you know, if we're, I mean, it's a podcast, let's be real about it. Like, whenever I was when I first was starting to do the movie stuff, like, it was something that I really, really wanted to do, but I was terrified to do it because I was afraid of what the cowboy community would say about me.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
voices in our heads, huh?
Because for years, you know, and I don't know if, how much you want to talk about that, but even being a black cowboy, you know, you know, you had you.
Well, I think it's applicable.
You had to work. You know, you had to work because, like, everywhere I've ever been, any ranch I've ever been on, I was the only black cowboy there, and it's not particularly anybody was racist to me or nothing. I've never really experienced racism, you know. And there's a lot of black folk that go on about how they do experience, but me personally, I've never really experienced. I think people judge you off who you are, especially cowboys. They judge you off the type of person you are rather than what color you are.
And that's what we ought to do.
Yeah, that's what everybody should do. But for me, I never really experienced it, so. It was kind of, I don't know how I was even about to go with that, but it was for me, whenever I started cowboying, it's like I tried so hard to fit in that, like, I'd finally felt like I'd made it. Like, I finally felt like I was considered a pretty decent hand, you know, by my peers.
Right.
And so for me to step out of it to go do something else, it was like, oh man, you tried this long to be this good at what you do, and you became really good at it.
Well respected.
Yeah, and well respected at it, exactly. And then to move on to something else, and to, you know, it really scared the crap out of me. You know, it was like, I was like, man, I don't know if I should actually do this. You know, I talked to my wife about it, and she's like, well, you know, what do you think? You know, I was like, what do you think I should do? You know, and she's like, why wouldn't you? She's like, you're burned out doing this. She's like, you can still day work in cowboy and do this. She's like, but just go do what you want to do. She's like, your friends are going to be your friends. And so she said, the ones that aren't, you know, if they disrupt your peace, just let them go. So
sounds,
it's like
a good wife.
She's a genius. Like, I'm telling you, she really is. She's a holistic therapist is what she does. So she's been doing that for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years now, I think. 7 years.
Wow.
Pretty long. So, but... without her, you know, she's changed my mindset a lot. You know, it's gained me a lot of confidence in myself. You know, because a lot of people, you know, I'm a very talkative person, very outgoing person, but, you know, I've always been very insecure. You know, I never came off like that.
I think
that,
we
but
all are.
I think
in
everybody
our own
is.
Minds, mm-hmm. You know, we just have to battle
that.
Yeah,
you just battle it. You do. You battle it. You know, and the thing is once you start believing that you're better, and actually truly start believing in yourself and believing that you're better, is when you actually start to accomplish your dreams and those that greatness that you have. Because everybody has greatness inside them.
Yeah.
It's if you want to, is if you want to partake in it or not, you know, because if you don't, then, you know, then you just become a mediocre person, just living this mediocre life.
Safe,
you
know? Playing it safe.
Safe, yeah, yeah. Yeah. You don't get nowhere playing it safe, so.
Well, I love some of the things you say, because you are, like, this voice of encouragement out there. You're speaking life whenever you're talking. And, like, this, be epic.
Be you epic.
Know, tell me.
Yes, ma'am. It's, so, I don't know, out? Just kind of, I don't know. I've always said it. You know, it's something I tell myself every morning. Every morning when I get up in the morning, before I'm getting dressed, or, you know, when I tell my son, whenever he's going to daycare, I was like, hey, be love and light. I was like, go be epic today. Somebody hit me up the other day on Snapchat and was like, gosh, why can't today be, or something like, it was a Monday. And it was like, oh man, I wish Monday was over. And I was like, well, you know, if Monday's just a mindset, because tomorrow could be even worse than Monday was. So tomorrow you could be hating tomorrow too. So I said, why don't you just wake up and every day's Friday? She said, oh no, they say, is it Friday yet? And I was like, why don't you just make every day Friday? Every morning, every day's Friday for you. Like, just make every day Friday.
Well, and, you know, I agree with what you're saying there on that mindset, because to me, gratitude's what fuels
for sure.
A good attitude.
For sure.
And if you can come at life from that,
it's all about energies, man. Like, it's all about the energies of stuff. Like, you know, like, if you meet somebody, like when me and you met, like, your energy's like, it's high. You have high energy. It's great. It's like we meet each other and we're like, since we said, like, oh my gosh, how you doing? Oh my God, you know, like the energy. And then you know, you meet somebody and you can tell, like, when they're like a Debbie Downer type person, and you're like, that's gonna disrupt my peace. I really don't know if I want to go talk to them right now, you know. And it's, so it's like, so you know, people recognize energies, and that stuff's real. Like, I don't care what nobody says, that stuff is real.
Well, I'm sure our listeners out there. I love it when Aaron goes off like this.
Yeah.
Because I just see his mama in the background. You know, it's like if you got a you're gonna have a preaching kid.
Oh,
and it's like,
my mom's probably like, shut up. She's probably like looking down on me like, shut up.
Like, no, it's good, because you know why it's good, Aura? Because it's passion.
It is
passionate. It's passionate. You know,
that's what I love.
I don't believe in half-heartedly going through life. Mm-hmm. If you're going to do it, go passionately. It's important to make sure you're headed in the right direction before you.
But even if you wreck,
keep on rolling. But one thing that I can relate to in what you were saying is, mm-hmm. I've always said to myself, you find exactly what you're looking for, and it's like, so why not look for the good?
For sure.
Because it doesn't take something prophetic to find the bad.
Always.
You pick the bad. But you know what? You want to be prophetic. Look for the good, mm-hmm. and go searching for that, and then call it out in other people. And I think that's what you do.
Yeah, I mean, I always just try to look for the good in people. I've always been that type of person that even if I met somebody, you know, you meet somebody and they're like, oh man, I don't know about him. He's kind of, you know, whatever. And you're like, oh shoot, let's go meet him. You know, because there's always good in people, man. It's just, I just believe a lot of people go through a lot of trauma. They go through a lot of trauma, and they go through a lot of insecurities. Like, you know, and like I always say, there's another thing I always say, hurt people hurt people, and heal people.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's just real talk.
That's
it's true, like, you know, it's like, you know, somebody rolls up on you and they're speaking nasty and dirty to you, or they're just being like mean, you know? Like, this is kind of what I imagine. Like, when I first started looking at my different views on religion, like, or what I wanted to believe in myself to bring myself peace within myself, was like, when I thought about, like, Jesus. You know, he came out, and it was like, you know, whenever, like, you know, people would do him wrong, or say, you know, try to, when they killed him and stuff like that. He was like, no, forgive him, for they know not what they do. It's like, because hurt people, and he understood it. He was love in human form, is what Jesus was. He was love in human form. And so it's like he's just sitting there going through all these motions, and it's so easy to forgive somebody, like, when you think of it like that. When you think of somebody else hurting like that, like, it's nothing to feel that hurt for them. So then you can actually have sympathy for them. You can actually have love for them, you know. And that way, whatever they're saying really doesn't matter anyways in the end.
Yeah. Like, so I know that you kind of mentor and have a heart to mentor young men. So, you know, there's a lot going on in America today, all kinds of different stuff. So what is the best encouragement that Aura Brown would give a young man growing up in America today?
Ooh.
Man to man.
Boys, be yourselves.
Well, that's good.
Be yourselves. I mean, you know, that, and that's just quick, simple. Like, I mean, we could spend all day on that. But, you know, man, I mean, when I say be yourself, I mean be yourself. 100% authentically yourself. I don't care what your parents say. I don't care what your wife says, your girlfriend, your partner, whatever you want to call them, your friends. I don't care. Like, because at the end of the day, when you go home at night and you look at yourself in the mirror, that's the person you have to make happy at the end of the day. You don't have to make any of those people happy at the end of the day, because none of them really matter in the end of it, when it all boils down to it. You know, if you can't make your own self happy, how are you gonna make anybody else happy? So chase your dream, love what you do every day, and just strive to be better every day. Strive to be better than you were yesterday. That's what I still strive to do. I mean, so I'm not nowhere near perfect by no means, and nobody ever will be, because we're not built like that. But I just strive to be at peace with myself every day, and strive to be proud of myself every day. So make yourself proud. Like,
okay.
Yeah. Just make yourself
good advice.
Proud.
I hope they're listening out there.
Me too. I hope so.
All right. Well, okay. Now we're gonna jump tracks.
Jump.
We're gonna talk about your sense of style and fashion.
Ooh.
Woo.
Ooh. Now we're getting into my realm now.
Yeah. So, come on, Aura. Okay, I was out at Lee Sellers the other day filming. Joey had made it possible for me to come out there and get some footage and everything.
And big dogging.
Taylor White and some of the cowgirls in the county were out
there.
Oh,
that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and they're just amazing. And your name came up, and people were, you know, Aura Brown is so classy. He shows up out here in, like, you know, a sharp jacket and a tie and his hat. Where'd you get that sense of style, and kind of what's that all about?
Oh, man, I don't know. My mom had always taught me growing up.
Wait, because I want to say this. Okay. Because you said, hey, I wanted to kind of prove myself and make a hand and mm-hmm. get that self-respect there in the pens and sort of blend in. But Aura, you stand out.
Yeah, so, I know. And I've always have. I don't know why. I always wanted stuff other people didn't have. Like, I wanted to wear the crazy stuff. Or, like I said, like, for the most part, be you. And I've been doing it for so long, but it's like, but even at that point, like, I never really fully was myself, because I was still always kind of worried about what, you know, my friends would think or what people would think. And I think it's just something, as you get older, you just quit giving a crap as you get older, you know. And so you just become more authentically you. And, you know, so growing up, my mom had always told me, you know, when you look good, you feel good. So, you know, I remember, I was actually talking to my wife about this the other day. I've always wanted to be a model and that kind of stuff growing up, and maybe do some commercials, act a little bit or something, you know. But when we were young, before school started, we used to do fashion shows, you know, because I had a lot of siblings. So we'd go get all our school clothes, and then you'd pick out your best outfits, and we'd be upstairs, like, we're putting them together, and we're, like, ironing them and all this stuff. And then we'd have a big fashion show in the living room, like, every year before we'd start school, we'd always have one. And I think that was where part of my love for clothes came from. My mom was always a pretty fashionable woman anyway. She liked to dress nice too, but I think that's kind of where my first love for clothes always kind of came from. And
well, you've got your own sense of style. And it makes me think, I put a little post out yesterday mm-hmm. about the article I wrote on the Be Monthly magazine uh-huh. about you. And Jay Adcock, you know, the Rawhide mm-hmm. man here in the county, shared it, and he put,
good old Jay,
great role model. And, you know, today, kids don't seem to understand that when you dress nice, you feel nice, and there's a certain way to present yourself.
Yeah,
and
no.
You always come with your game on. You know, it's like, I'm ready, I'm here. And it's like, you add a sense of professionalism to what you do, you know, the way you carry yourself.
Like, I try to. It's like, it's because it's more, for me, it's like, I don't know, like I said, when I feel good, it's I feel confident in myself. And I think, you know, like I said before, I'd always kind of had that kind of insecurity in myself for years growing up. And then as I've gotten older, I've become more confident in myself and my abilities and all that kind of stuff. And it's just kind of got to that point that it's just like, you know what, like, this is me. Like, you know, because I dressed like a cowpuncher for years, you know. I wore the hat the shape the same as everybody and wore the clothes the same as everybody. You know, I did that for years. And then, but I've always, like I said, I always had this other side of me. It was more of like I love that gentleman style. I love that old, like, English, British, mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. Bridgerton, I guess everybody's watching nowadays, you know. Like, that kind of stuff, you know. Like, I dig that kind of style. Like,
when you pull it off, it's like authentic.
And so I just kind of,
authentic or a brand.
So I kind of combine cowboy with old English style, you know, like an old
That's
English.
That's working for you.
Like, you know, it's kind of what I like. And I'm a real big, like, you know, Tom Mix fan, like, because he used to wear the suits and, like, the hat, and the big, tall hats, and Will James, he wore the big, tall crowns, and, you know, and he was a cowboy, but he was also, you know, an artist and stuff like that, but he was a real deal. So it was like, I wanted to be the real deal, but I found out as I've gotten older, like, I can still be a cowpuncher and still love to do the things that I really like to do. Mm-hmm. Because I always thought growing up that if you punch cows, like, that was all you could do. If you did anything else, you weren't real. You know, like, nope, you're not real if you're not just punching cows all the time, you know. And as I've gotten older, it's, you know, and, you know, I still have episodes where I still deal with it and stuff, but it's gotten a lot easier. It's just like, this is me. If you don't like me, I guess you don't like me. It is what it is. So, like I said, if it don't disrupt my peace, then I just kind of try to keep it all in line.
We're sitting here in Osage Outfitters at the Hat Bar. Mm-hmm. And I hit Joey up before we started this interview, and
Mr. Lee,
he's
going to
pick out a hat for me here in a minute.
Oh,
if
yeah?
If he does, would you collaborate with Joey on the shape
for
of
sure.
it? I want to have an
for
orange
sure.
round-shaped felt. Some of,
some of that old Spurbox collection.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Well, we're going to do that here in just a minute. But before we do, hey, yes, Ora, since this is tourism, we're talking a little bit about Osage County, too. Give your best pitch for why people need to come visit Osage County.
Oh, you know, I've been all over the United States. You know, military, you know, college, cowboying, all of it, movie stuff. But there's no place like Osage County. There's no place. There really isn't. I mean, you know, I brag on home so much, like, everywhere I go, like, you know, and it's just a small community of good people and good life. Nobody's, like I said, I've lived here my whole life. Never had any judgment or racism or nothing. And it's just the most laid back people, just good people, good Americans.
It's like, a good piece of America.
Yeah, it is. It's a good piece of America, like you said, Kelly. You got all them pretty words. But it is. But y'all need to come to God's country.
There
sure.
you go. Come on.
I need to come to God's country.
Well, Ora, thank you so
yes, ma'am.
Much for
thank
joining
you,
me today on Osage and
so
It. I've been
yes,
blessed
ma'am.
To have you. This is Kelly Bland fixing to sign off. Y'all come see us in Osage County. When you do, be sure and stop in Osage Outfitters on Cahika Ave in Pawhuska. Say hey to Joey, and he can fix you up with an Ora Brown style hat, too. Check us out online at visittheosage.com or download our handy-dandy Visit the Osage app. We hope to see you soon somewhere in the county where the smiles are always free. Thank you, Ora. That's
Thank
good.
You, you're good.
Y'all are fun. Thanks, Joey.
Heck yeah.